would normally happen if you called me or anyone else and scheduled an appointment to come in and talk about funeral planning. So when you first showed up, the first things that we would kind of initially talk about is what type of funeral would you like to have? And, you know, usually I hear the words, where are we buried or where are you cremated? Well, that's great, but that's just the final end mode of disposition. So the question is, if you're going to get cremated, do you want to do a regular funeral with a viewing first or something along those lines? Or do you want to do like a memorial service, or you just want to be cremated and that's that? Same thing with a burial. You can do just a burial. You can do a regular celebration of life with a funeral and everything with an open casket. It's all been done before. There's really no wrong way to do this. And once we start talking about that, then people kind of get ideas of what they want. And a lot of that dictates, you know, where they are in life, where their families are. Are they all local? Do they live far away? There's a lot of personal things that need to be kind of figured out. Sometimes, a lot of the time with people that choose cremation and decide not to do a viewing for the public, well, sometimes they have family that lives in the other part of the country, or they're snowbirds somewhere else, and the family wants an opportunity to say goodbye. So we talk about all the different options there as far as what's available. And that can range from several different options. And then we continue on, you know, do you want a funeral? If so, where? Are you looking for more of a celebration of life? Will it be here at the funeral home? Is there going to be food involved, beverages involved? I've heard a million different ways of people that want things done the way they want them done, and they're all right. None of them are wrong. There's no wrong way to do this. That's the most important thing that I can tell people. There's no wrong way to do it. You know, we've done probably the one that I share the most with people is that when I was in Milwaukee, we had a visitation and a funeral for a gentleman passed away, and him and his wife spent all their winters in Hawaii. And so for the visitation, we kind of brought up, you know, the fake palm trees and luau lights and stuff like that. And we, all the guys at the funeral home, we wore Hawaiian shirts and those lucky nuts and board shorts. And all the ladies wore, you know, the lays and, you know, kind of beach attire that you would wear, you know, when you were in Hawaii. And it was aloha as people came in, aloha as people went out. You know, we did the best we could for indoor tiki torches and stuff like that, but it was great. The people loved it. The family loved it. It was one of the coolest things we've ever done. So, you know, there's just one example of what all can be done. And so we continue and talk about stuff about that. And then the next step then would be, you know, okay, now that you guys kind of have an idea, and have you talked with your family about it? Because sometimes what you think you want to have happen isn't necessarily what your family thinks that they want to have happen. And a lot of times they're going to be like, when you sit down and talk with your family, they're going to be like, yeah, whatever you want to do. But it's important to have a serious conversation with them about it, because as much as the funeral is for the person that has passed away, it's more so for the friends and family left behind to say goodbye to a life lived. So sitting down and involving them in this conversation is a very important piece of this. So when you talk with your family and they say, yeah, whatever you want. It's like, no, it's a little bit more than that. What are your thoughts? I mean, this is what we're thinking. Do you like this idea? Is there something a little bit different that you were thinking about doing? You know, and again, I can't really give a specific, this is better than that, that's better than this, because the ranges and what people want are so different, and there's no wrong answer. So talking with your family and getting everyone on the same page is probably the second most important thing that you can talk about and deal with when you're planning for your final funeral expense. You know, I've had families that agree completely and families that have, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something else. And in the end, and I've had too many families come in and say, I have no idea. I have no idea what dad wanted. I have no idea what mom wanted. I guess we'll go this route. I hope they're okay with it. You know, so a lot of this funeral planning alleviates so much pressure, not off of you and your spouse, but also your children and grandchildren as well. They can say, yep, we know what we want to do. We've talked with our family. They're on board, or maybe there's a little tweak here, a little tweak there, but it works for everyone. And everyone's on board. We all know what we're going to do. And it's going to be a great celebration of life for a life well lived. And then kind of the next step then is talking about costs involved for a funeral. And we sit down and we talk about those. We break them down a little bit. Whenever we have a funeral of any type, there's basically three different areas of cost. There's a cost for the funeral home, for all the services we do and provide, from coming in and sitting down that day through sitting down as many times as we need to get things arranged the way you would like them, until the time of death occurs and everything that happens after that. There's a charge for that. There's a cost for what's called the merchandise. And merchandise is a little bit different depending upon if you choose a casket and burial versus cremation. If you use a burial, there's a cost for the casket, a cost for the grave liner or the vault that goes into the cemetery. And if it's a cremation, there's a cost of the cremation from the crematory, possibly an urn vault. There's a couple different options there throughout. And then in both of them, usually there's some sort of guest book or service folders, you know, that people take with them, and thank yous. And then the third area of cost for a funeral are all the cash advances. And cash advances are charges that aren't the funeral home's costs. We just normally pay them for you on your behalf. So when it comes time to pay, there's only one person to pay, and that's the funeral home. And then usually we take the money out of a funeral trust if there was one established. So cash advances are going to be like, obituaries in newspapers, death certificates, flowers. If there's going to be a clergy person involved, paying the clergy, the music, if we're going to have a lunch and where the lunch is, whether it's catered or at a restaurant or something like that, or in the church. But it's been a long time since I've had a lunch in a church after a funeral here in the last year. So it's been over a year since we've had one of those. Some of the other cash is the grave opening costs, the cost if you have your headstone up at a cemetery already to put the final date on the stone. There's a cost associated for that. And then if you're going to get cremated, there's a cost or a cremation permit fee. And that is based upon the county that a person passes away in. So every county is a little bit different. Usually they're most within the $150 to $200 range. So we sit through and we go through the cost, all the cash advances, and kind of get an idea of where we're at there. And then we go through the cost of the funeral home for everything we do and provide. And then from there, we kind of look at merchandise. You know, are we going to look at an urn? Are we going to look at caskets? Some people want to, some people don't. Some people just want, you know, price points put in so that when it's there, there's money for it and the family can pick out the casket, pick out an urn, whatever. There's again, several different ways to do this. It's all based upon your comfort level. And then the next part then is talking about, okay, so now we've got this figured out. We've got a rough idea of what the costs are going to be. Where do we go from here? How do we put money into a funeral trust? Well, we have to put the money into a funeral trust because legally the funeral home cannot accept money ahead of time. And that's because if I were to accept money ahead of time and say, yep, your funeral's covered, you're good to go. And then one day I just get sick and tired of everything. It's like, you want to know what? I've had it with this town. I've had it with these winters. I'm out of here. I take your money and I go, and everyone's up a creek without a paddle. So that's why legally funeral homes can't take money ahead of time. And unfortunately, it's happened before. So just like every profession, there's always a couple bad apples everywhere. But what we do most of the time now, probably pretty much more than anything, are insurance trust. And the insurance company that I use is called Funeral Directors Life Insurance Company, and they're based out of Texas. And there's ones based out of everywhere, and there's different companies that do this, and they're all pretty much for the most reason good to work with and good to do. This is just who we choose to work with. And basically, we go through and we fill out information about you and your personal information as far as the social security number, stuff like that, your next of kin. And we go through all that and set it up so that an electronic transfer can happen to pay the insurance, the actual insurance cost. And as far as how much money is put away, that is 100% and completely up to you. So if we pick out a funeral that costs $10,000 and you're like, I'm not ready to put away $10,000 just yet, especially for the two of us, you know, if it's a husband and wife combination, you know, $20,000, that's a lot of money. We're like, we're comfortable doing maybe five each right now. And then maybe in a couple of years, we'll do five each again. Whatever number you're comfortable putting away, that's the amount of money you should put away. Some people are comfortable doing the whole thing. Some people aren't. There's really no right or wrong answer to that. Some people like to do payments, and there's options for that as well too. But again, that the number of the size of the policy is based off of your preference. It's not based off of what I tell you. I don't tell anybody what they should put away. It's 100% a personal choice. The other option as far as in trusts is a bank one. And we haven't done bank ones for many years simply because there's a lot of more red tape to go through. And excuse me, there's three different bank trusts you can use. It's called, there's a funeral trust, a casket trust, and a vault trust. Okay. And so the state hasn't done it much here recently, but they have in some places in more populated areas, they say, hey, those three trusts can only pay the funeral home, the casket, and the vault. All the cash advances have to be an out-of-pocket expense from the family. So that kind of put the brakes on bank trust by quite a bit. And the other one was the interest rates. There's not a whole lot of interest to be made in a bank trust in a CD right now. Whereas insurance trust, you're getting at least 1.5%, usually a little bit better return. So we really don't do bank trust so much anymore. It's really pretty much straight insurance trust. But for those people that are more comfortable with a bank trust over an insurance trust, sure, we can do a bank trust, not a problem. And then the way it works, and let me see if I can share my screen here. Okay. So this is what we go through if you were sitting down with me and we were talking about all this information here. Okay. So we type in, okay, I'm assuming everyone can see this. Can I get a thumbs up from Cammy or Cassie or somebody? Okay, good. I've never shared a screen on Zoom before. I just listen and talk. So the first part here is you always start with a name. You know, is there a preferred name? Are you spending down your money to qualify for Medicaid? Social Security number, birth date, address, all the typical stuff. If you do email, we could email you all this information as well as mail it to you and a phone number. And then some of these red items here are state required questions that I just have to answer as we're filling out. And this would be where we would add someone, next of kin, with spouse, child, aunt, uncle, power of attorney, however that would be. So all this information gets added in here and their information. And then there's always a health question on this. If you're paying in full, like you're paying, let's say I'm gonna pay $10,000 for a $10,000 life insurance policy, there's just the one health question here. You answer this. And basically it asks, have you been diagnosed or treated for a terminal illness? And more times than not, the answer is no. And that's the only thing. Even if you answered yes, they're still going to cover you. It's just something that they need to know. And then there's a couple other ones here where if we do a multi-pay one, and again, same thing, doesn't matter if yes or no is answered, you're still going to get coverage. It's just something that they need to know. Right. And so then here is the price information or the amount of money we decide to put away. So in this case, it's just a $10,000 policy and the money's split up and it really doesn't matter where the money goes because the $10,000 is going to go to pay for the whole funeral at the time of need. Okay. And then here's where we can decide, do we want to do a pay all at once? Do we want to do a multi-pay? There's a couple different options here. And if we do, let's see, this one probably won't let me do it because I filled it out already. But if we do a payment plan, you can choose monthly payments, quarterly, annually, semi-annually. And it'll tell you how many years you push it out, what your payment will be, and what your total cost of everything will be. So everything is all straightforward and upfront depending upon your needs. And then there's some more legal requirements here for who the applicant or the purchaser is. Usually in most cases, it's the applicant and the purchaser and the policy owner are all the same person for Medicaid reasons. And the beneficiary is usually going to be the estate or the funeral home. And then the contingent beneficiary is the person's estate. I cannot list a name for a beneficiary. It has to be made out to the estate. So basically what that means is if the funeral comes out to $10,000, but over time the policy has grown to $10,500, well, there's $500 left over. That $500 gets made out in a check to the person's estate. Okay. Let's go through here yet. The payer usually authorized persons, you know, be the next person, the person in charge. Usually it's the person named in the part that we did up above for next of kin. And there's some people do guaranteed contracts. We usually don't. That we can go into here in a little bit if there's time and people would like to know about that. If you are signing on someone's behalf and you're not if you can't insure them by your name, like if you were a spouse or a kid, you can sign on someone's behalf without paperwork. But if you're a guardian or just a power of attorney, we need paperwork to attach to the policy to make it work for Medicaid, Medicare rules. And then we go through, we do some signings, and there's a couple different ways. Still with this COVID time, if you're not comfortable coming in, we can do all of this over a Zoom session like this, and we collect online signatures. So basically I would sign it now and would send you a link to your email where you would sign off on yours. We can do the paper way, or we could do an electronic way. So that's just kind of a quick run through of what we do. And it even goes more into, all your information. So everything that we would need for the death certificate would all be in these tabs here. And we can go through all of this stuff. Some people just want it printed out and they fill it out later. You can get detailed into your services and what you want and what you're looking for, all the way down through all the little minute details can all be filled out in here, or you can print it out and fill it out at time later. So that's just my insurance company, FDIC, what they're available to do. Sometimes I tell people that we don't need to spend any extra money. And that would be like if they have an insurance policy already through a company like New York Life, Mass Mutual, the Prudential companies, any insurance company, you can take that policy and irrevocably assign it to the funeral home. And that would be the same exact thing as sitting down and doing money for this. So you can take, if you have a policy that's worth, $10,000, $15,000 or whatever, and you're like, you want to know what? I don't want to spend any money, but I do have this insurance policy on hand. I can take this and I can irrevocably assign it to the funeral home, and it's going to cover my final expenses. It no longer becomes an asset of yours, and it gets moved into, it gets listed, taken off of your assets, so because it's specifically set aside to pay for your final expenses. Okay. And that means that when the time comes and you're spending down to get onto Medicaid, they can't make you cash this policy in. They can't make you cash this policy in. They can't make you cash in the bank trusts either. Those are specifically set up to not be an asset, but they're to pay your final expenses. And that's what 90% of this is just getting everything away and secured so that when the time comes, if you are going down to qualify for Medicaid, this is all taken care of. One last thing for you guys to have to worry about. I rambled through a lot of information in a short amount of time there, so I apologize if your wheels are spinning. Now, does anyone at this point have any questions or thoughts or something specific you'd like to talk about?